We're going to start on the top of Kuf Nun Bet Amud Aleph. The Gemara seems to ask what seems to be a simple question. Itmar, Matat Shechiv Meira, Shekatu Ba Kinyan. You have a Matat Shechiv Meira, which in it contains a Kinyan. So now the question is, what is the case over here? What is the Gemara after? So it happens to be a major machlok at Rishonim that had to view this question. The Rashbam, who following in the sheet of the Rabbeinu Chananel, suggests that the Gemara's question about here is simply about the fact that there's a kinyan after there is a matnat shchimira. So from two perspectives, this has meaning. The first is it a case where there's a gift, matnat shchimira bikula, or is it matnat shchimira b'miktzat? So the Rashbam says it's clearly that we're talking about here a matnat shchimira bikula, it's a matnat shchimira in its entirety. Because the Gemara just concluded, we just had a conclusion to matnat shchimira b'miktzat, which was bayi kinyan. Hilchata matnat shchimira b'miktzat bayi kinyan. So if the Gemara already concluded this, it wouldn't start with the same question again and reopen the case. So this must be a different issue. It's one of his other proofs we'll see as we go through the Gemara, is that the Gemara questions from Shmuel, where it seems to be that we're talking about a case of kula. That's number one. Number two, the Rashbam says that this, even though the case here mentions a case of shtar, even though it mentions the case of shtar, nevertheless, this would be true even without a shtar. The issue is simply matnat shchemira followed by a kinyan. So you can have a matnat shchemira and a shtar with a kinyan written into the shtar, or you can have a matnat shchemira b'al peh with a kinyan that follows it. The two aren't, it has nothing to do with the shtar aspect, it just has to do with the perspective or the issue that there's a kinyan after there is a matnat shchemira. That is the position of the Rashbam. We'll read the Gemara and then we'll come back and we'll mention that he is, there's a lot of brotherly bantering on this daf here. The Rivam in the Tosfot, his brother, disagrees with him, and then we'll say later on there's another machlokes between, and then Rabbeinu Tam gets involved, their third brother. So there, it's an interesting daf in terms of the different opinions that are being put forth. Right, so here, matnat shchemira shekotuv b'kinyan. You have a matnat shchemira, so like the Rashbam b'kula, that's been given in its entirety. So the rules are, in general, that if he passes away, then it goes through, the gift goes through. If he gets healthy, is healthy, and again, he gets better, rehabilitated from his ailment, whatever it is that allows him to continue living, then it's reversed. The matnat shchemira is reversed because he gave it b'kula. But here, what he did was, he, in addition to this, did a kinyan. So what does that present? So, Beirav Mishmei, the Rav Amrei Arkavei, Atrei Rechshei. So, Rav says that you're riding, or you're hurtling on two chariots. So, Shmuel Amar, L'yudana Maya Dunba. He says, I don't know what the psak is over here. Beirav Mishmei, the Rav Amrei Arkavei, Atrei Rechshei. What does it mean that you're hurtling on two chariots? Harihi Kematnat Bari. Right? It's like a gift of a Bari. Harihi Kematnat Shchimira. It's also like a gift of a Shchimira. As the din of a matnat bari, that means that if he survives, he cannot reverse it, he cannot renege on the gift. So that as a din, like a matnat shchimira, that he has the ability through amira to convey what otherwise would require a kinyan. For instance, halvatol deploni will only work with malach lishtan by a bari. Nevertheless, here by matnat shchimira, we saw earlier in the Gemara, that even when it comes to a matnat bari on kufim zayim kufim chet, that he has to replicate, the shchemira has to replicate something that can work in a bari. So a bari would require mamad shloshtam. Over here, the shchemira will not require mamad shloshtam, and he can convey the loan. So what Rav is basically saying over here, Rav is saying is that the person gave a matnat shchemira. Period. He gave a matnat shchemira. Why is there a kinyan afterwards? The kinyan came afterwards to make it, or to lock in the matnat shchemira, to say that now it's irreversible. So the kinyan came to add to the tokef, and to add to it a dimension of bari. That dimension of bari means that you can't back out of it, you can't renege on it. So the matnat shchemira will work from the perspective that you can convey through amira other items that through a bari would require some sort of masik kinyan. On the other hand, it's like a matnat bari that doesn't matter what happens to you, you can't back out of it. It's a done deal, it's a complete and entire matana. Shmuel Amar, lo yadanu maya dunba. Shmuel says, I don't know what the psak is over here. Why? Shema lo gamar laknuto elu bishtar, vein shtar lachar mita. Says, maybe he intended over here to grant the gift or through the kinyan. or through the shtar. And there is no shtar lechar mita. So we're uncertain as to the method or the vehicle by which he is now conveying the gift. He could be getting the gift as a manat shkimira, because it's an amira. But he also includes some sort of kinyan over here, going to Rashi Brown, whether it's written in, or whether he actually does a kinyan, a physical kinyan over here. And we know his mindset in some way. His mindset is that he's a shkimira. So he wants to convey the gift and have it. How does the shkimira gift work? It works that when he passes away, then there's a passing of his possessions to the other individual. But they're not conveyed before the poor end of dying. Now the problem is, if he thinks that the shchimera, this matnat shchimera, is being affected by the kinyan. If it's affected by the kinyan, what's the problem? He thinks it's going to happen after mitah, and the kinyan won't be effective after mitah. Well, what? There's no shtar, there's no kinyan achar mitah. So that can't happen. So that's shmol safek. Shmol safek is, I don't know why he's making a kinyan over here. Is he making a kinyan? We're going to see in a second, on the second amud, we'll see that. It's a possibility to make a kinyan liyapi koach, to give more power or tokef to his gift. Or on the other hand, he might be making a kinyan here because he wants the gift to be conveyed through a kinyan. He thinks that's the better way to convey the gift. Problem is that once he does that, and he thinks it's working like a matnat shkimira, it doesn't work anymore. It fails. So that's what Shmuel says. I don't know what to do with this. I don't know what to do with this case. V'rami d'rav ad-rav, u'd-shmuel d'shmuel. We have a stira between Rav and Rav and Shmuel and Shmuel. D'sholach Rav and Mishmei d'rabi abahu. Havayadeh sh'sholach Rabbi Elazar l'gola mishum Rabbeinu. So we're sent to the Golda in the name of Rabbeinu Shchimira. Shamar kidvu vitnu mane leploni umet ein kodvim vinotin shema glo gamar laknutelo bishtar vein shtar lachar mita. So here you have a shchimira that says write this document for this individual and give the mane to ploni. So now when he says it's nu mane leploni, is it tnu mane leploni and have a shtar as a shtar raya, or is it kidvu the shtar, and that in the shtar that will be the what grants him the mane? And what's the problem? Problem is that if it's through the shtar that he's conveying the gift, the shtar is not effective lachar mita. Shtar is only effective if he's still alive. So now Rav says, I don't know, shemalo gamar laknuto, we can't give it to him because we're not sure that he actually wanted to give it not through the shtar, and there's no shtar lachar mita. V'amri of Yehuda Amr Shmuel Hilchata Kozvin Vinotin. Shmuel says, go ahead and write it. So over here you have Rav indicating that we have a safek about what the kinyan does over here. It sounds like the kinyan creates a problem for us. Before, Rav says, oh, the kinyan is just a strengthening of the gift. In this case, in this instance, the memra says that the kinyan opens up a safek that maybe you only want to do it through a kinyan, exactly Shmuel's opinion. And Shmuel, on the other hand, says, no, we don't worry about it. Just go ahead and write it, similar to what Rav would say in the previous case. So how do we deal with that? So Kasha the Rav, Ad-Rav, and Kasha the Shmuel, Shmuel, it's a stir and Rav, stir and Shmuel. So Rav, the Rav, Ad-Rav, lo Kasha, it's not a stir and Rav. Ha, the konomine, ha, the lo konomine. Right, really depends on how it was affected. It was the kinyan affected, or is the kinyan not affected? I mean, if you already did a kinyan over here, right, that the kinyan's written in here, or he does actual a physical kinyan, then it's clear that the purpose of the kinyan here is only to strengthen, right, what the gift that's already in it being given through the matnat shchemira or through the amira. So if the kinyan's affected right now immediately, then we know that the purpose of that kinyan is to strengthen the gift that's already been given. On the other hand, if he writes it in the shtar, or he says kidvu b'tnu, but the kinyan's never done, is never affected, then we say maybe his intent was that the kinyan would be affected, and that would be the method or the vehicle for conveying the gift. And since that kinyan didn't happen yet, it's possible that he's thinking that the kinyan's the vehicle, and that only happens lachar mita. That can't be. So that would be how to reconcile in Rav. Rav's statement above about matnat shchemira shekodvu ba kinyan is a case where there is a kinyan already been affected. And the case here, the shchemira shamar kidvu v'tznu, and now the ploni is a case where there is no kinyan. The kinyan only happens later on, or it's only granted or given over the shtar, only done after the shchemira passes away. The shmol lo kasho. Shmol is also not a kasha, v'yampe et kocho. It's a case where he is trying to improve the standing of the recipient of the gift. We'll leave it alone now, because the Gemara is going to come back and say, what is Mi'ape Kocho? How do you know? Why does Shmuel in one case say that it's a safek? In the other case, he says, no, it's Mi'ape Kocho, that he's giving him a better gift, and he's trying to strengthen his position with regards to the gift. We'll see in a second what that means. When, how do you know it is, or how do you know it's not? It's going to be from the language that you use, and the Gemara will give us the language on the Amud Bet. All right. Yatei Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Achorei the Rovo. Rav Nachman Yitzchak was sitting behind Rovo. V'yotei Rovo Kamei the Rav Nachman, and Rovo was sitting in front of Rav Nachman. And so you have Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, then Rovo, and then Rav Nachman. And he was asking him, Mi Amar Shmuel Shemalo Gomar Laknoto Lo Bishtar. Is Shmuel's opinion really this idea that we have a safek about whether the kinyan goes through, because we're not sure if when he made the kinyan, he asked for the kinyan. He said the shtar that he meant it for that to be the vehicle of the kinyan, and that only happened to be the masay kinyan, and that only happened after chamita. V'amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. There was a statement from Yehuda Shmuel. Shchiv meira shekatav kol nechasav v'achirim. Someone who granted all of his possessions to someone else. Afal pi shekano miado. Amad Choser. Even if you made a kinyan, you have the ability to renege on it. If you survive, if you are able to walk away from your deathbed, then you can back out of this manach kamira if you gave kol nechasav, even if you did it with a kinyan. So wait a minute, that's basically our case right here. You have a manach kamira with the kinyan, right? And then Shmuel says if amad Choser. Why? Biadua. Because we know shelo haya kinyan ela machmata mita, right? The kinyan was only given over, or the kinyan was only being affected because of the death. Because it's an umdana dadat that the reason that he was granting this gift and doing this kinyan is because he thought he was going to die. And then it doesn't die, then he can back out of it. He can walk away from it. So this is one of the proofs that the Rosh Hashanah brings. That number one, we're talking about a case of kula. It's a case where the matnah of kol nechasav. And number two, it's a case where it's not clear in this case that there's any tivat hakinyan b'shtar. It just says that kanu miado doesn't indicate that he actually wrote in a shtar or in the gift that there was a kinyan. It sounds like if there was just the kinyan afterwards, that they were separate. The shtar and the kinyan have nothing to do with each other. Matnah shchimira is independent of the kinyan. So this is one of the two or stronger proofs that the Rishbam brings, that our case, so this Mari here is talking about a case of Matnah Shchimira Bekula, and a case where there's a Kinyan afterwards. It doesn't mean that the Kinyan is embedded in the Shtar necessarily. It could be a Kinyan that's done Baal Peh, that a gift Baal Peh, and then the Kinyan afterwards, a Kinyan Bishtar, and then, a gift Bishtar, and then a Kinyan afterwards. So now, we see here from Shmuel, that Shmuel says, or it sounds like from Shmuel, that there's we don't worry about the fact that the kinyan might have been intended for after death, because all he says is if he survives he's chozer bo, but implying from that if he passes away, what's going to happen? The gift would be a good gift, no problem with the gift. And here we have a matnach kinyan rabakula plus a kinyan, and Shmuel says straight out, no problem. It sounds like it's not an issue at all. Zvachle biyadei v'ishtik. He waved to him to silence him about it. He waved to him. Kikam, Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, who was sitting in the back of Rava. Rav Nachman says, Rava, Mayach V'lecha. What did he wave to you? Why did he send you off? Or say, no. So the question, what he did here when he Achav Yadei, is that either that he knows, he says, I know, Rav Nachman's indicating to Rava, I know an answer to this, and I'll tell you later. Or the answer is that through his hands, he was giving it to him, something like he's strengthening him, something like, he's giving him a stronger, some way he indicated to him that he is, the answer, which is about to say, that the answer is, like Shmuel, we answered for Shmuel before, that when a kinyan is, when it's strengthening the matnat shchimira, in that case, we don't say that we have a suffix, whether he was trying to affect it after the death, it means that it's coming here to add or be, really to strengthen the form of kinyan. And that's the next question, which is, hey, chidami miyapet kocho. How does that work? What's the difference? How do you know when the kinyan is miyapet kocho and when it's not? So it's very simple. Amar Rav Chisda, the kinyana minei musif amatna da. He basically says that the kinyan is just an extension or an additive to the, to what we have here, to what the original, the gift, the matnach kinyan that's documented here in the document, right? And in addition to that, we have a maisa kinyan, but that maisa kinyan is an extension of the original gift. It's not that it's something separate from the original gift. It's not something that's trying to affect the kinyan. It's just coming along, and he basically states in the kinyan minamidei musiva matnada, that just adds to it. It's only additive, not detracting in any way from the gift that was done. So that's the Rashban's way of reading the Gemara over here. And this Lishna Yitevah that he puts into the document is what grants him the Yipui Koach. And this Yipui Koach is basically a raya, right, of sorts, that he got this gift, and not, right, necessarily, again, not necessarily that, like Rav said before, that this Yipui Koach is the extent that it becomes like a Matnai Bari, you can't back it out of it, because we just saw that Shmuel says you can back out of it. Now, you could explain Shmuel that it's Mitzavah L'Achamita, and that's why he allows you to back out of it, but, nevertheless, it seems that Shmuel's only point of Yipui Koach is that we don't have any suffix here, that the Matnai Shkrimi Rav will go through if he passes away. That's the Rashbam's explanation.
And Rav is
Chaleg? No, Rav may not be Chaleg. Rav may just say that it's...
That's what you explain.
No, this is in Shmuel himself. Shmuel has two issues. Shmuel has an issue where you write Lashon B'Yipui Koach, and we don't write it B'Lashon B'Yipui Koach. If you write it B'Lashon B'Yipui Koach, then the Kinyan is only additive, not detracting. Well, you don't write B'Yipui Koach, then the Kinyan might detract, because it might become the vehicle for the passing, and I won't let it go through. Rav says whether you write it like this or don't write it like this, it goes through. Rav says it's always the Yipui Koach. Alright, that'll be the difference between it. Now, there might be also, even when you write the Lashon Yipui Koach, there might be a difference between them. Rav might say that the Yipui Koach makes it into a Matnat Bari also, and it's, actually...
It's not, he does both. This is to be Mechazek, it's like, it's
right,
to get, like we learned before. To get all the advantages from all sides.
Right, but that, so according to Rav, what does that mean? That means to get all the advantages means it becomes like a Matnat Bari. According to Shmuel, it just might be that makes it a Raya, and it may not be as far as, they might also argue, even when it's Yipui Koach, they might argue how far the Yipui Koach goes. Right, that's not clear from the Gemara. That is the explanation of the Rashbam. Now we have the Rivam. The Rivam says, V'ein Nira the Rivam, the shadow of the Rashbam, his brother, Rav Yitzchak, does not like it, and teamed up with him is the Ri. So you have the Ri and the Rivam together over here, and on the other side you have the Rashbam and the Rach. Right? So the Rivam says, listen, I think, number one, I think over here when we're talking about Matat Shchemira, I think we're talking about a case where it's Mimiktat. Right? That we're talking about a case where it's Matat Shchemira Mimiktat. And that is the case over here, not the case of Kula. And number two, or even Mixas, I should say, not just Kula, but also Mixas. And number two is, I think that we're talking about a Shtar Dafka. Those are the two things he says. I think it has to be Dafka. It has to be Dafka in a Shtar. We're talking about the Kinyan is also written into the Shtar. That it's not one of these things, a case where it's outside of a Shtar. But it's Dafka in the Shtar. And number two is that it could be Bekula or Bemixas. All Kinyanim, right. Shtar means Dafka over here. When they say it's written into the Shtar, we mean written into the Shtar over here. So that's it. Benir Lari, I'll just read you the last couple lines on Tosas on the Kuf Nun Bet. Benir Lari, the Farish, the Mari Bishtar Dafka, Vainu Time of the Rab, Shusover the Kach, let Vado Kinyan Betocha Shtar, Lalumi Kocho Yuter, Shafil Bechon the Chasav, Imama, Deno Jose, Kemish Kat Vado Betocha Shtar. The fact that you included the Kinyan in the Shtar is trying to make the Shtar a stronger Shtar, and the stronger Shtar means that I can't back out of it if I get up. Ushmol Zavar, the Shtar Zainu Ela Migra Kocho, it just retracts. Kiafo Pishish Bo Kinyan, Imbo Kach, it's not coming to be miyapekochoh. The reason he put the kinyan in the shtar is to make the shtar into the vehicle for the kinyan. And by making that into the vehicle for the kinyan, that makes it actually ruins the whole kinyan, because then it only happens lachar mita, and there's ein shtar lachar mita. Doesn't specify what?
Context.
No, that's context, right. The whole idea of a Matnan Shemira is it only works Lachar Mita.
Let's say he does want to give away everything.
So he should just do a Kinyan. He should just do a Matana. He shouldn't do a Matnan Shemira.
He shouldn't do
that. Because a Matnan Shemira, by definition, is a vehicle for doing after the Mita, right? It's the problem. All right, so now, then the Ri says, and later on, it's on the Amud Bet, he says, Ulfize nearly, the whole Chaf Shemaita in Tzarech Lamid Klal, because of Kol Nechasav, compared to Rabbeinu Shmuel. Based on the way I'm explaining it, I don't need to say that we're talking about Kol Nechasav. Right, compared to Rabbeinu Chanan, Yecholu Lamida B'tov, B'matnat Shchivira, B'm Miksata, B'm Bekula. Doesn't matter, we can do it either way. So that's the akacha kula namiari. Doesn't matter. It could be kula, it could be miktas. Because my case here is unique to a case of shtar, where the kinyan's embedded in the shtar. So it's different than the cases we discussed before. The case before, when we were talking about miktas, you know, miktas, we weren't talking about a shtar, we weren't talking about a kinyan embedded in a shtar. Here, this case is a specific case of a kinyan embedded in the shtar. So this is a unique case, which Rav and Shmuel are addressing, that's not necessarily related to the psak of the Gemara before. And if I do that, I can be talking about mixes, about kula, doesn't matter, I can deal with both. So that's the first machlokes here between the Rashbam and the Rivam. The Rivam goes through, I'm not going to spend the time, a lot of the Tosfos spending about why the Rashbam's proofs are not good proofs, and how to read the Gemara. One of his biggest problems is, according to the Rashbam's explanation, is how do Rav and Shmuel fit into our Mishnah? Rav and Shmuel now are very difficult to fit into our Mishnah, because what is the case in our Mishnah? Our Mishnah is a case where if you give a gift b'miktzat, right, then you can't back out of it. And if he dies, it goes through. And in a case if you give a kula, you're allowed to back out of it. So is it a case b'kanumine, or is it a case shalono kanumine? What's the case over there? So going to Rashbam, you start to run into a problem. Why? Because the case of miktzat has to be a case of kanumine. Why? Because otherwise it won't go through. We just saw that. That was the psak of the Gemara going to the Rashbam. That has to be a case of kanumine. If it's a case of kanumine, then what about the sefer? The sefer says it's bekula, then you can reverse it. You can get up. Wait, if our mission is not made a case of kanumine, we just saw Rav, according to the Rashbam, if you have a matnash kamir rabbi kula, and you do a kinyan afterwards, that's great. You can't back out of it, number one. You can't back out of it. So how do you fit Rav into our mission, according to the Rashbam? So what you're going to have to say, by the way, they're going to have to say in the end that that the ratio and the sefer are different. One, the ratio is a case of kanumine, the sefer is a case of lo kanumine, which later on the Rabbeinu Tam will suggest for the Mishnah. Which is that's one of the main issues the Rivam has with the Rashbam, is how to read our Mishnah according to the Pshat of the Rashbam. Right now, next case in the Gemara, Pshita. Kotov lazeh, v'kotov lazeh, if he writes a gift to one, and then a gift to the other, Chaynu, this is the case, the Chatar of Diyamar, Daidiki mevatel et Daidiki. That a Daidiki can wipe out another Daidiki. I mean, a gift of Shchemeira, the last one governs. Right? When you come to the last will and testament, the last will is the one that's going to be the testament. Right? Meaning that here, you have a Daidiki, whatever's dated last, that will underwrite it. So we don't have any questions about that. The question is, Kotov v'zicha lezeh. If he wrote it, and then was mezake to the first party, then Kotov, again, wrote another one in Mezichah Dezeh. What is the din over here? Rav Amar Rishon Kana, the first one gets it. Shmuel Amar Sheni Kana, the second one gets it. Rav Amar Rishon Kana, Arihi Kematnat Bari. Rav says that this becomes like a Matnat Bari. Because the fact that he wrote it and was Mezakeh to him, that changes it into a Matnat Bari. And a Matnat Bari can be effective immediately. You don't have to wait. Lachar Mita. So therefore, the first one is the owner. Shmuel Amar, Sheni Kana, Harik Matnat Shkemira. And it's a Matnat Shkemira. If it's a Matnat Shkemira, it doesn't take effect until Achamita. And if it's a Matnat Shkemira, the last one is the one that governs. So Sheni will be Kone over here. The question of the Rishonim, and this is where, again, we have another Machlokas, the Rishbam, and his brother, the Rivam, which is, what does it mean, Vizika Lezeh? Kota Vizika Lezeh, Kota Vizika Lezeh. The Rishbam claims Vizika Lezeh is not that he gave him a Kenyan. It's not that he gave him a kinyan, but he was mezakeh the shtar to him. So he says, if you look in the Rashbam, kotov v'zicha lezeh, kotov kol nechasov l'ruvein, umaser lo et hashtar l'rayat zchuto. That he gives over the shtar to him as a rayo, as a zchut to him. So that's what he says. So the why? What is the reasoning of Rav? The reasoning of Rav is, you look in the next Rashbam, the hazika kikinyon choshiv le. When you're mezakeh the shtar to him, it's the equivalent or similar to a kinyan. And we already saw from Rav before, in the previous amud, that Rav says when you do a kinyan on a matnat shkemira, what are you doing? You're giving it the effect of both being a matnat shkemira and a matnat bari. Matnat shkemira, that a mira works, and a matnat bari, that it is, you can't back out of it, which means basically that it's effective immediately. That the matnat bari goes through and you can't back out of it. So that would be the opinion of the Rashbam. The Rashbam believes that the zika here is not a full-fledged kinyan. It's just that you gave him the shtar, as a shtar raya, you mezakeh him the shtar, but through the zikui of the shtar, it's equivalent of a kinyan. And Shmuel obviously says, no, like before, that the kinyan, or the being mezakeh him the shtar, doesn't do anything to add here, it's only, right, it's either only a raya, or it's only detracting from the other facts. Either just the raya, and therefore it's a matnat shchemira, or it's detracting, and then we have a suffix, and it's no better than a matnat shchemira. So that'll be the Shmuel's opinion. Of course, the Gemara asks right now, right? Right? If that's the case, we already had this machlokus on the previous amud, which is b'matnas shchivra shekata b'kinyan. It's the same as the case we had before. So I met a matnas shchivra with something afterwards that strengthens the matnas shchivra. In that case, it was a full-fledged kinyan. Over here, it's a zikui that generates or creates the same thing as a kinyan again. So three chod, the Gemara says we need them both. Indeed, if you need this, in the case of, right, on the previous amud, and so we said for Rab before, they actually made a kinyan. Right? Over here, there's no kinyan. He just handed him the shtar. He's mezakim the shtar, but it doesn't mean that there was a kinyan affected over here. Maybe he would agree to Shmuel. Maybe he requires an actual kinyan, and being mezakim the shtar is not enough. If we only had this case over here, maybe we think Shmuel only disagrees with Rav over here because he's mezakeh the shtar. There's no real kinyan. Back in the case on the previous amud where there's a full-fledged kinyan, maybe modele the Rav, he would agree with the Rav, and therefore it's rechol. Therefore we need both of these opinions. That's the Rashbam's explanation of this Gemara. Why the Rivam takes issue with the Rashbam is simple. Because the Gemara gave two cases. The Gemara says, what happens if katav lezeh v'katav lezeh? He wrote it for this one, and then he wrote it for the next one. There the Gemara says, Pshita Sheni Kana, the second one gets it. On the other hand, Katav Lezev Zika, according to Rashbam, means that he wrote it and gave it to them. Implying what? What was the first case? That he wrote it without giving it to them. So the first case is he wrote it, didn't give it. Wrote it, and didn't give it. So we find on his, we get to him, he's dead, passes away, and we come to his deathbed, and we find these shtarot floating around on his deathbed. So we find the shtarot floating around his deathbed, we look at them, we say, which one's the last dated one? And we go and carry it out. The problem with that is that we had a Gemara, we learned this together in Bava Metzia, that a person who finds if we find a mate with a daitik key on his, attached to him, we find a daitik key, we don't return it. Why? Why we don't return a daitik key that was never given to the recipient? We say, Shema Kotov v'nimlachba. Maybe he wrote it, and he backed out of it. So the fact that he wrote it, he might have written it, and he might have backed away. So a shtar daitik key never becomes effective until it reaches the recipient.
What about manash ketuvim umisurim?
Right. Yeah, ketuvim umisurim dami. That's if he does it bi'al peh, and someone was there, and they're edim to the fact that he wants to give it.
And that wasn't the case.
Why is that the case? Once he writes it into a shtar, it becomes a shtar daitik key. That's what he says here, katav lezeh. Once you write a shtar, you're not using amira as the effect for the matnas shchemira. You're using a matnas shchemira through a ktiva, through a shtar.
After the case that we did, the matnas shchemira is a kasuf, but...
Yeah, he wrote it.
And he did not do it al peh.
Right. Or even if he did it al peh, the fact that he's writing it says that he's using the...
If he did al peh, I would say that you don't have chisaron in the sina here.
Right.
And the scene already happened in this shtar.
Okay, very good. Oh, excellent. So what you're suggesting is the Rabbeinu Tam. We'll get to this in a second. You're suggesting the answer of the Rabbeinu Tam. So we'll get to that in a second, but I think you're on along the lines of an idea that the Rabbeinu Tam is differentiating in the type of contract that was written here, or the type of document that was written here. The Rivam disagrees with it, but I'm just going to say. So now the Rivam says that's the biggest problem to Rashbam. We know that you're not allowed to give, a daitik key is not effective when it wasn't given. So how could you explain that the first case, Gadol Hazeh, is where he didn't get it? And the second case is where he does get it. So the Rivam explains the case here, that Vizika, when he says Vizika, is Lavainu Masar, that's not giving over the hair, even if you give the daitik key to someone, you can back out of it. Zika lo means that he gave him the nechassim. He gives it to them, he grants them through a kinyan or through a misira baal peh. Then he writes a shtar that he granted these possessions by giving them to someone else. If they're metatlim, if they're karkei, amalei chazek v'kinei, he says, go and take possession of them. And that zchut is written to the shtar. So according to the Rivam, what it means, v'zika lezeh, means that in the shtar it's written that he gave him a kinyan, right, in another way. He said to him, basically, go, or he gave through a third party. He said, look, I gave a third party the metatlim to accept on your behalf, which is, mezakin ledam shalof v'nav. He took possession of them on your behalf, and this is the shtar that documents that. Right, or I told you to go and take possession of the land, and this shtar tells you that you take possession of the land, and that's why it goes through. Why does it go through? Or what's the when it caught the Vizika Lezeh means that there was another kinyan, right? That would mean there was another kinyan that affected it, and the shtar is telling us about this other kinyan. On the other hand, in the first case, it's a shtar where he has the shtar. But the shtar doesn't document any other kinyan. The shtar just says this is the gift, and he's holding onto the shtar. So that's the way the Rivam learns. Rav learns even when you have a shtar, you can back out of it. According to Rishbam, if you're given the shtar, you can't back away from it, because the shtar, giving the mesira of the shtar, the zik of the shtar, is effective like a kinyan, according to the Rishbam. According to Rishbam, simply giving up the shtar is exactly that. He gave you a gift. That's the same gift that would have been had he not given it to you. How do you strengthen the gift? If the shtar writes that there was another kinyan, or that I gave you the possessions to someone else. So that's the Rivam's opinion over here. The Gemara will later discuss what's the case, and then later on you'll see the Rabbeinu Tam. I will only bring it now because of your question, or the way you wanted to explain it, Tzvi, is that the Rishbam wants to, the Rabbeinu Tam, who's the third brother, wants to explain the cases here differently. The case in Bava Metzia where he finds the document, and the case here. Because there can be different types of didakis. There can be a didaki which is the granting of the gift. And there can be a didaki, like you're suggesting, which is a raya that there was another kinyan. So it depends. What the case over here, we're talking about a didaki, which is simply a raya that there was a mesira of alpeh, or that there was some sort of kinyan that was affected. So when it's a shtar raya, the didaki, then you can give it even after death, because it was affected by the kinyan or by the alpeh. On the other hand, if the shtar is the granting of the gift, if the shtar is the way that the gift is being granted, then in that case, right, then we say don't give it back, because we don't know. Shema nimachba. He wrote it, and maybe he never gave it, and never intended it to go through. So exactly what you're suggesting to answer for the Rishbam, the Rabbeinu Tam, suggests that differentiation. That there might be a difference in the type of document that we're talking about here. The document, there's a daidin ki, and there's a shtar hakno. That's what he calls it. Shtar hakno, the actual physical granting, which is the Gemara in Bava Metzia, that you can't give because we're afraid that he maybe was nimlachba. A daidin ki, which just evidences the fact that he did a mesira bal peh, evidences the fact that maybe there was another kinyan, that you can give because we know it happened, meaning that he wrote, documented already that there was a kinyan here. It's just his raya. The shtar is just a raya, and that you can give over. And that's how he answers up for the Rishbam. Okay, now the Gemara says, "V'surah matna hochi." That's the way they learned in Surah. There are two ways to read. What does it mean, Surah matna hochi? Surah matna hochi can be either back, all the way back to the case over here, of Rav and Shmuel, Machlok was Rav and Shmuel, or it can be here, the case here, Machlok was Rav and Shmuel. The Rishbam says, he rejects the Lashon that says it's one before, and we'll read it this way, that it refers to the Machlok was Rav and Shmuel here, when it comes to the case of Daidiki, right, Mevetel Daidiki. It was a case with Kotav Zika the Zev, Zika the Zev. That's how the Surah learned it. Bepum Petito Manu Hachi. Bepum Petito learned it this way. That Hachi Omar, Rav Yirmiyam Barava, Shokhule Mi Bei Rav. Right, from the base vintage of Rav, they wrote to Shmuel, Yilam Deinu Rabbeinu. Shmuel, please teach us. Shchiv Mirah, Shekotav Kol Nechasav Lachirim. Shchiv Mirah, they wrote all of his possessions to someone else. Vikano Mi Yado. And then they made a kinyan on it. Mau, what's the din? Shalachluhu, ein achar kinyan klum. There's nothing after a kinyan. A kinyan is final. So sovar minei, they thought from him, hani milil achar. That's only to someone else. Aval leyatzmo, bo. Right, that's when we say that ein achar kinyan klum means that he can't grant the gift to someone else. Once he's granted the gift to this individual and give it done a kinyan, that means that's it. It's over. You can't change who you gave the gift to. It's done. But if you, right, want to back out of it and take it back yourself, or if you are, right, if you get up from this, maybe not, then you could back out of this deal. It does not matter whether it's you or it's not you, right? The gift is final. Ah, wait a minute. You, that's what you were asking about before, Tzvi. We have Rav Shmuel says that if you get up from a gift like this, you can walk away from it. That if you get up, we say there's an umdana that you only granted. Even with a kinyan, we say there's an umdana that you were going to, what? You're going to walk away from it. So here, if you look in the Rishbam, Amalu Rav Chista, Ben Acher Ben Amatzo, V'udam Yudar Yehuda Mishmuel. It's not like the case before, Rav Shmuel, Damar B'yadua Shloya Kinyan El Machmat Mita. There's a Hatam Kotov Uknu. Aval hocha zika v'katav uknu. T'chokach v'adei le'apet t'chokho. There's a difference. In the case back there, he just says katav, right? He wrote hatam katav v'knu. Right? He wrote, there should be, write the shtar and have a kinyan. That's what he said over here. Over here, he does three things. Katav, he does a kinyan, and he's mezakeh him, the shtar. So he has three things over here. So over here, it's much more, he's saying that it's much more potent because he's done more things over here. He has a shtar, plus he has a kinyan written in the shtar, or he has a kinyan afterwards, plus he gave him the shtar, he's mezakeh him the shtar. So according to the Rishbam, who thinks being mezakeh the shtar, giving the shtar is like another form of kinyan, that means that he granted it, plus he did two kinyanim. Tukin Yanim already means that he really wants this to be final and it's done. Suppose the case of Yidur Shmuel before, where it was simply Kitvuk Tunu, which means write it, and then there'll be a Kinyan also. There's a Shtar and a Kinyan. Shtar and a Kinyan, we can say it's Machmel Mitah. In that case, maybe he would be able to back out of it in that case. Again, whether it's Mitzvah Machmel Mitah is what causes him to be able to back out of it, or in any case, if Mandat Shemir like that, you could back out of it. We discussed before both of those possibilities. But that'll be the difference between Shmuel's statement before, where he does a Matnah, Matana Bakula, Matnat Shkemir Bakula, and a Kinyan. There you can back out of it if he becomes healthy, because that's all there is. Over here in our case, if he becomes healthy, he can't back out of it because he did a Ktibah of a Shtar. He did a Kinyan, and he was Mizakeh the Shtar to the other party. And by Mizakeh, being Mizakeh the Shtar to the other party, that adds another tokef that he can't back out of it. It's an additional kinyan over here. And we don't let him back out of it in this instance. So the way that Surah is learning is that there's machokas in Rav about this case, which is a shtar shemira shezika that he gave over. And according to the Rashbam, it's equivalent to making a kinyan. So now the Gemara has to come as a tzrichusa. Why did the Gemara mention this case plus the case before? Because the case over here is a similar case of shtar shemira plus a kinyan. So now you have two state machokot between Rav and Shmuel that are discussing the same issue, which is a shtar of shemira plus a kinyan. So when Pumbedita comes along and says that that's not the case here at all, it's a different case entirely. What's the case? Why is it a different case entirely? It's a case where he did three things. It's a case where he wrote a shtar shemira. He was kanomi yado. He had a kinyan. Plus, he was mezaket at him. He gave him the shtar itself. He handed over the shtar to him. So there's a kinyan written into the shtar. There's a shtar, plus a kinyan written into the shtar. Plus, he handed him the shtar. So this case is nothing like the case we had before. So if it's nothing like the case we had before, you don't have a tzrichuta anymore. You don't need a tzrichuta because we're dealing with a different case. But the fact that it's a different case also helps us by Shmuel. How come this sounds like a stira to Shmuel earlier? It's not a stira to Shmuel earlier because here this is different than the cases we've been discussing until now. The cases until now were cases of shtar plus kinyan, or shtar with the kinyan written into it. This is a case of shtar with kinyan plus zika. He gave him the shtar on top of all that. He gave him the shtar. So now it's a totally different case. In that case, Shmuel says, ein achar kinyan klum. And ein achar kinyan klum, again, this is different than his statement before because it's a different case. And it's not a problem with the tzrichuta. You don't need tzrichuta anymore because it's different than the case we discussed in the previous Amud of shtar plus kinyan. All right, so that's... We'll stop over here.